You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Rick Ackerman, editor of the newsletter Rick's Picks, his website RickAckerman.com. Welcome back to the show, Rick.
Always a pleasure, Jim. Thanks for inviting me on.
Rick, what kind of state are we in the markets? They look pretty positive right now.
Yeah, the market's making a all-in bet on Trump, and I don't think it's the market's got it wrong. The market hasn't been gaslighted like all the pundits who seem to think that Harris is running neck and neck. She's not. Anybody who watched Bret Baier's interview of Harris last night will understand why she's not even a viable candidate, much less running even with Trump. So the market is in full lunatic mode. Nothing's going to stop it. I did put that out as a commentary a month ago that the market was going to continue higher, to waft higher until the election. But I think Trump's going to inherit an insoluble mess. We're in a bubble. The bubble's going to pop with Trump in charge, and I don't know if he'll get the blame. It depends on how quickly the market's collapse occurs after the election.
Now, gold, is it going to prop things up? What's the story there?
I've got a 2803 target basis to December COMEX contract, and that leaves a little rally room, but I think it's going to hit some resistance there. I'm not guaranteeing 2803, but it looks like a pretty good bet. Current price, hang on here, let me get you an up-to-the-moment price. This is COMEX December is 2704, so we've got another 100 points to go before gold hits something solid, and we'll see from there. I'm not a gold going to infinity guy. I just think gold will do well relative to all other classes of investables, and we're certainly in a time right now where you should be allocating at least 15, 20, 25% to gold investments.
Now, you said there is kind of a Trump rally going on in the market. Is this due to the White House, like they like to do before every election, trying to pump things up, maybe secretly buying stocks?
Well, I think the market always takes the optimistic scenario. And certainly Harris would be a disaster. I'd have to say if the Democrats cheat their way to another victory, and that's the only way they could conceivably get it, this market is going to register shock and awe like you haven't seen before. We'll be down 5,000 points on the Dow in just a day or two, or at least a week anyway. And I think it's all downhill from there. So the market, it's made a pretty firm bet here, and apparently the betting odds, if not the polls, are saying that Trump's got it in the bag.
Now, after he becomes president, what do you expect to see?
The economic forces have always been much bigger than president. You know, it's not a question of a president did things that made the stock market go higher. The market is just a rabid beast. It doesn't really respond to facts or presidents or anything like that. So the economic cycles that drive the bond markets and the dollar are way bigger than presidents. And a president can only be lucky or unlucky as to when he takes office. In the case of, let's say, the George Herbert H.W. Bush, he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. You know, he just got hit with recession and he lost the election. Clinton was probably memorably the most fortunate president. He came into the presidency in a big upswing. And of course we attribute, not that he did everything wrong, but we attribute the market strength and happy days to things that Clinton did. But in reality, the market is just following its own it's cyclical muse.
We'll have more with Rick Ackerman right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Rick Ackerman. Rick, what's the story with crude?
I don't know. You tell me. You talk to a lot of good guys. Crude is you can't short it because any day, you know, crude, it's interesting that the world's largest commodity market is just a big rig carnival game. We know that because every time gas at the pump gets down to $3 a gallon and we're motorists are feeling encouragement that that's the bottom for crude. Crude starts up. So we know that the markets are sort of rigged according to what's the revenue side, and the pump price is really where, well, literally where the rubber hits the road. So every time it gets, the pump price is $3, we can pretty much know that crude is going to start reversing. Which it's done, but I'm not so sure how far it can get. You know, on a supply and demand basis, the biggest buyer at the margin, China, is unable to get to crank up its economy. So if China's manufacturing is weak, then demand for fuel at the margin is weak. But you always have a counterfactor there, because the geopolitical influences can overwhelm whatever supply and demand might dictate. So we're in that situation now. You know, the nutty, completely rigged crude market took a wild move up when it looked like Israel might be contemplating a bombing raid that would have taken out the natural gas and oil capacity of Iran. And then, of course, we had a headline that Israel had worked out a deal with, quote, Joe Biden, unquote, and that they weren't going to bomb any oil depots. And so then crude, naturally, because it's a rigged market, it didn't simply respond to that news. It collapsed for a little bit. So the markets are completely rigged and opportunistic, and the wild swings within a $20 range are just the big boys making money the easy way.
Now, the International Energy Agency, I know the initials. It's saying crude is going to peak in 2030.
Now, yeah, like they know.
Yeah, well, we've heard this oil was going to peak in 1979, I recall, as well. And then it would be declining production.
Yeah, I think you should tune all that stuff out. They don't know. They don't know anything. The only thing that they do know, and I'm not speaking about the Energy Commission, but I saw a pretty good presentation done by, UBS's energy expert. This was at a luncheon a long time ago in Boulder. And the point was, when you look at the pie and where we get all our energy, some of it from solar, some of it from most of it from fossil fuels, and so on and so forth, it takes forever to change the pie. You know, to go from 11% solar to 20% represents an enormous investment in infrastructure and a long, like 20 years long lead time. So the pie is not going to change. But there was an interesting story the other day that Google was going to start running AI power off small nuclear generators. And I don't know whether this is the beginning of a trend, but you may have read that exploiting AI will take enormous amounts of computer power. So there was another interesting story that was talking about Taiwan's chip production, and that's very energy intensive. And the problem for Taiwan is a question of, can they get enough electrical power to run these giant fab plants? And they're sort of up against a wall there. So the only obvious solution to generate lots more power is nuclear. I mean, that's it. Plain and simple.
Well, Microsoft just bought Three Mile Island so that they have their own atomic power plant for their major AI brain factory.
Yeah, and it's interesting, really, that a fraud like AI should be driving real investment in energy. You know, everybody's got this everybody's all in with AI because it's very good promotionally. I could tell you that Rick's Picks is gone. We're now all AI oriented, and it's just a sales gimmick. Again, and I've repeated this point 10 times in talking with you, to me, AI is no better than auto spell, auto text, or
autocorrect
text. Yeah, it stinks. And if they can't get that right in the context of what they have the chutzpah to call a large language model, if they can't get small language right, how are they going to get large language right? And the only thing I see in AI, the only potential that I see, or not potential, I shouldn't say that, but in a practical sense, all I'm seeing is AI to relieve people of their jobs. And it's hideous, appalling where you see that happening already. You know, if you watch there was an MTV video on Eric Clapton, and this was on TV, and they streamed the music, but they also streamed a video that purportedly accompanied the music, and the video was so insipid. It was so lacking in imagination and creativity that to me, that's the future of entertainment. We're going to be entertained almost entirely, other than, you know, live performances by Taylor Swift. We're going to have AI streaming at us in ways that are so unimaginative, so uncreative that they're going to just take the world by storm.
Well, you can do that with TV shows right now. Obviously, if it's not AI writing it, it might as well be, because you can mouth the words, something happens. Oh, look, the police are here. Why are there police here? There must have been a killing. Like, that was a really hard script to write.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no imagination to it, and you can tell if something's written by AI because there's no emotion. They won't say, you know, down by 27 points, the frustration and the grit and the grime were digging at their eyes and into their hearts, and they were trying to find a way to win. You'll never find anything emotional in it. It was, they were down 23 points, they came back. That'll be AI. They won't talk about how, you know, feelings, and if they do put feelings into it, they'll be the wrong feelings. He was so happy his boat was about to be torpedoed.
Well, my touchstone is the movie Idiocracy, and you have to see it to understand what the future looks like. But if we, when we reach the point where we're watching a sitcom on TV, the characters are essentially AI licensed avatars for whoever. You could have a Dick Van Dyke show, and you could use Dick Van Dyke's likeness to recreate him. It would be, you would see the actor on television, because they can already do that. They can bring people back from the dead. They can have Fred Astaire dancing with the Dirt Devil or whatever. And so you're going to have a phony actor, and the sitcom is going to be scripted by AI, and there's going to be a laugh track where they crank everything. I can't even watch shows with the laugh track. So that's it. That's your hat trick of AI in TV sitcoms. We're watching an AI script with AI generated likenesses of the original actors, and the laugh track. They'll probably even use AI to be more scientific about where, when, and how loud the phony laughter comes in.
Yeah, well, I hate sitcoms with laugh tracks too. I know when to laugh, and if I'm not laughing, it's not funny.
Yeah, and that was a problem for me with Seinfeld. I think Seinfeld was a good show. The concept was good. It was well executed. but it had a laugh track, and so that made it unwatchable for me. On the other hand, some of the best comedies ever, like the Gary Shandling show, did not have a laugh track, and that, I think that made a lot of difference. Not that anybody really noticed.
Well, I loved Gary Shandling. Plus, being in radio, TV, and you go, this is so real. The audience has no idea. It's like the duck on the lake. He's nice and calm, and the feet are just churning like crazy underneath. That's what's going on your favorite TV show during a newscast where everybody's cool and collected. Behind the scenes, people are running around, throwing scripts at each other. And have you got this? Have you got that? And then, of course, they throw in who's sleeping with who.
Well, it was a great show, and I think it certainly benefited from not having had a laugh track. It was just a head and shoulders above everything else it was on at the time.
Anything else we have to be keeping a close eye on, Rick?
It's like always premature to start liking bonds, but I mentioned having allocating more heavily in gold. You got to have gold here, even if you're not a believer in $5,000 an ounce. But the bonds are so far out of favor. They look so horrible that I can only infer that they're a screaming buy right now.
Rick, thank you so much for chatting with us.
And thank you, Jim. I always appreciate the chance to connect with your guys.
My guest has been Rick Ackerman, editor of the newsletter Rick's Picks, his website, rickackerman.com. If you have any questions for Rick or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com, our YouTube channel, Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.